Hello, and welcome to All Charged Up, the podcast that brings state, county, and local municipality resources together with industry experts as we discuss a variety of topics such as EV infrastructure, renewables, and the electrical contracting industry in DuPage. I'm your host, Karen Charvat, and in today's episode, we will be talking about EV-related incentives with our co-host at this time, Tim. You are back with us. Tim, of course, Greenways to Go. And Tim is going to help us unpack everything we need to know here about incentives. And Tim, I think when we talk about having a focus on this topic, we really kind of need to start at the top. And that is really just general question about incentives. You know, what are they and why do we need them? So let's start there.
It's an interesting question that I think a lot of people think about, and they look at it. Sometimes it's a little complicated, but
very complicated, Tim. Yes, for sure.
But what's behind it is, you know, typically you're talking about good ideas. Mm-hmm. In the world of environmental policies, what we're talking about is to apply incentives, which are typically positive things for like renewable energy or energy efficiency or transportation electrification, but it also gets involved in waste recycling and water quality and many other programs, basically intended to improve quality of life and health outcomes by supporting markets that provide better technologies and better solutions. There are a lot of naysayers out there that think, you know, that you shouldn't be giving incentives to particular markets to put, you know, the foot on the scale, as it were. But those are the companies that are having their markets displaced.
Mm-hmm.
So the key here for what we're dealing with electrification and transportation, mm-hmm, focus here is climate change, but also pollution that comes from tailpipe emissions. We know that there are real, measurable, somewhat dramatic effects, and it's creating this pending crisis for future generations. If we didn't have incentives and we let the market take care of itself, we wouldn't be able to do it fast enough.
All right, and these really drive change.
Exactly.
Good for all.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about the public good, not a particular business or market. And in doing so, you actually create a lot of new small businesses. You actually can enhance existing larger businesses. It stimulates revenues and cash flow and jobs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are going on at the federal level. You were promoting new jobs programs.
Yeah. Well, that brings up another topic then, doesn't it? What really is the role then of government with incentive programs?
So there's kind of a sequence of events that happen, and a lot of this, you know, people don't necessarily see it, but we start with the science. So what's the problem? So if it's environmental, it's air quality, water quality, or land quality. And typically what you do is you set policies and programs that are driving targets to improve those, say, the current status of emissions in a given market, trying to improve that, trying to make it better, healthier. So the idea is that you identify these issues and you get measures and understand the impacts and kind of where you have to go technically when you're trying to do cleanup. So then at that point, the bill writers have a target and they have ideas on how to do it. So they basically, the legislators will write a bill and it defines issues and also suggests remedies. So how are we going to fix this? And then it goes through a whole range of debates and, you know, the whole process of legislation. And if it gets passed, then these new rules are in place and regulations. And it goes into another phase after the bill passes where agencies and organizations actually start organizing some very clear sets of rules and requirements.
And programs.
And programs, yep, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
So it's, the idea there is it's at that point you have the game is set.
Sure, sure. Well, that makes sense then. So then why, well, you know, I like how you've outlined that, but, you know, do we really need then the government, though, to create these policies? Can't we just let free market manage these environmental outcomes?
The thing about the free market is they self-serve.
Sure.
So if you take the look at big oil or big coal or big gas, the utility companies and all the markets for, you know, creating those fuels, they're not real keen on having additional costs to clean up pollution and such, or carbon. Mm-hmm. So if they were left to their own devices, they wouldn't solve those problems. It's not necessarily to their good corporate good. It's good for the people. So the government has to step in and play that role. That is one of the key roles of the government.
Yes, to protect all.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then kind of the last stage is you've got to get the word out, which is kind of part of what we're doing today.
Yes.
And all of these programs, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, but you have certain funding mechanisms, you have processes, applications, who's eligible for a particular program, how much is in the kitty for the program, how long the program, and how do you apply. So those are the things that are different, and that's kind of where a lot of the complexity lies, is in, you know, all those factors. And again, if at some point all those things are defined, and then people have to find out about it. And that's always a challenge too.
Right, right. And that's one of the things why I wanted to really kind of tackle this as a topic and a focus for discussion, because I feel like generally people understand what incentive means, right? But then we get grants and we get rebates and it kind of all gets lumped in. And then I feel like people are like, this is just too much. No, I can't, you know, I need a kind of like a roadmap. So I'm hoping that we can sort of break it down a little bit and perhaps, you know, you can give us some examples of incentives.
Sure.
True incentives, because like I said, we've got grants, and then I understand grants and rebates are different, but I'd really like to hear from the expert.
Sure. So I'm kind of putting everything under the umbrella of incentives.
Okay.
Some people differentiate the term subsidy from tax credits, but to me, it's all how you're motivating individuals and businesses and the markets as whole.
I like that.
So basically, there's some that provide cash just outright from government funding, which is grants, which are typically there's kind of two flavors of grants. One is what they call discretionary grants, which are you basically have so much money in a pool,
mm-hmm.
and people submit based on some criteria, and then mm-hmm. somebody in the government says, okay, we're going to give money to this person but not that person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the discretion of the grant body.
Mm-hmm.
But they will give, you know, so much money, and you can get the payments, progress payments. You may get some money up front. You get the balance of it at the end. And then there's what's called formula grants, which basically they'll say, you know, for example, there's a National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program, which Illinois gets $149 million over 5 years. And that's basically because we have whatever it is, 14 million people. That's a certain percentage of population in the country. Each state gets a certain percentage. And then the state is allowed to figure out who gets what within that. So that's basically, you know, kind of free money that you get at some point along the way. And then rebates, I think we're all familiar with
mm-hmm.
rebates. You buy something, you send in something and get refunded later. Mm-hmm. That's fundamentally the same idea.
And those typically will, again, everything has rules attached to it, right? So you can, you know, apply during this window and you've got to have your purchase done by this date, right? Those
right.
are all very clearly defined in all of this, right?
Right. And how much, of course.
Much.
Mm-hmm. And typically they'll have, you know, there'll be so much money in a pool of money and there'll be, you know, caps on it. So those that apply early have a better shot when the money runs out.
Yeah, good point.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But the key there is you have to make the investment, whether it's it could be in a vehicle, it could be in charging infrastructure, but you as the interested party have to do that up front and then get reimbursed later.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't follow the rules, you may not get the rebate. So you have to just be smart about it. And all the agencies are pretty good at helping you out. So if you get into that, you should make sure up front you know what you've got. And then there's a kind of a subset that's called vouchers. So there's a program that you can buy a vehicle instead of waiting for the waiting to apply and get the fund refunded later. It's actually taken off the sale price of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's favorable from a consumer standpoint. But there aren't a lot of programs doing that currently, but there may be.
I see.
So the next kind of key category are the tax incentives. So mm-hmm. We've all had, you know, some form of tax credit in some of the things we've done, you know, like child tax credit, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of environmental, there's a number of different subcategories. One's performance-based, so it's particular in wind energy. So you build these multi-million-dollar plants, and you won't get paid until you generate electricity, and it's paid incrementally over time. So it's based on the amount of energy you generate. There's also investment-based, which is the most common. So if you invest in the technologies, once it's up and running and you prove it's done what it said, they pay you.
I see.
They give you the tax credit.
Right.
There's also personal taxes. So some of the programs, if you install an EV charger at home, maybe you get a tax credit, so you get 30% off the cost of the investment. Same thing for commercial businesses. You can get tax credits off your business taxes.
I was going to say, for all of these, it can apply to individuals, businesses, of course, nonprofits, not-for-profits, right? There's a whole subset for all these different categories,
exactly.
Too, right? And I think what I'll do is, we'll come back to this, but I'm definitely going to make sure that we have all the information we're talking about today posted online just to let folks know that listen, as we started this, I kind of promised everybody there's a lot. And we're getting into it, right? We're getting into it, Tim. I really appreciate you walking us through all of this as expertly as you have. But, on the same topic now, let's kind of talk about how would an individual or a business figure out, which one of these programs, might apply to their situation? If when they're looking at, for their business or for their home, right? How would they really know what program might best apply?
It all boils down to your objectives. So who are you? Are you an individual or a business or a not-for-profit, whatever? Mm-hmm. Are you doing the vehicles? Are you doing the infrastructure? How big is this thing? So with that in mind, if you look at the infrastructure side, you've got to have a place, a property, a facility, and then you have to have – that's your supply. And then you have to have a demand, which is the vehicles. So those have to kind of be coordinated, but the idea is you want to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that requires looking at what you have in your world, figuring out the size of everything and how many vehicles – and then you go to the shopping list of the types of rebates that are available, which one fits.
Right, which one matches best.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it's typically broken down by, so individuals, residents have some. There's also multifamily dwellings. There's a whole other set of consideration. Businesses and industries and not-for-profits, they may have similar, they may have different programs or program specifically designed for fleets. So it depends on your situation.
Yeah.
Buses have some kind of carve-outs, transit versus school buses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's rails and ferries and, anything you can think of, there will be some sort of program to encourage, green action.
Well, and I think that's just it, right? That, to me, that's the key here is for anything that you can think of, more than likely, there is some sort of assistance, we'll call it, in that umbrella of whether it's subsidies or tax incentives or green credits, right? There is some type of assistance available. Yep. So I think that's a really key point because, again, as we start to unpack all of it, you realize how much there is. But again, if someone just has a specific goal in mind, there is an outlined procedure and steps available once they start to really kind of dig into all of this, right?
So some of the, you and I have talked about this, we've got a list with links that
yes.
you're going to post.
Yes, almost
so
definitely.
You can kind of look for what fits your needs,
mm-hmm.
and then you go to those websites and they'll walk you through it. And all those agencies will help you out. And there's, FAQs and contact points. And,
yeah, they're very user-friendly, I
exactly.
found.
Yeah.
Truly, really. I'm going to see if there's anything else that we wanted to talk about with the tax incentives. I think you kind of covered a lot of it.
I did want to throw in something that just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Please.
It's called direct pay for not-for-profits. So tax incentives means you have to have taxes. Federal taxes. Municipalities, for example, don't pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they participate in this market? They get the equivalent of a tax credit. That's just, they've been talking about it for a long time. It's finally been formalized. So municipalities are, I think, kind of happy about it. They can get 30% tax credit on significant investments for EV charging, as an example. They don't, it's not tax credit, but they get the equivalent of 30% of their investment.
Yeah, no, it's a great example.
Yeah.
And I know they're also doing something similar with workforce development and manufacturing, right?
Right. So if you you want to start up a new business in any of the green sectors in Illinois, and actually there's some national and state programs, but they will give you considerations, often in the form of tax benefits, but it could be subsidizing new hires or manufacturing investments. And Illinois is being very aggressive in that regard.
You know, offline, you and I talked a little bit again about some of these different incentive programs and whatnot, but green attribute credits, that's a piece I wanted to talk a little bit about. Green attribute credits, is there anything that you can kind of let us know about that particular program?
Yeah, it's a marketplace that gets created to basically encourage green activities. The one a lot of people are familiar with are renewable energy credits. So if you put in solar panels on your roof or in a business, you basically get paid to do that. And if you look on your ComEd bill, there's a line that says renewable portfolio standard. We all pay into that. So when people put it in, they get these credits. Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite of a tax. So that's for renewable energy. And they do that also for fuel. So there's something called renewable index numbers, which is a tracking system for using alternatives to gasoline and diesel. Electricity doesn't count for that. But and then there's also in some states they call carbon credits. So basically, if you're using an electric vehicle, you're not generating any CO2, so you get a credit for that, and you can, in where there's a market, you can actually sell those credits and reduce mm-hmm. your costs as an operator. So it might be good for like a fleet or something.
Most definitely.
Illinois is talking about it, but we're not there yet.
I see. So then that leads me then to, you know, once you figure out, you know, what program best suits your situation, eligibility, that's a whole nother level of I won't say challenge, but challenging.
Challenge is a good word.
It can be challenging to figure out those eligibility requirements. Can you walk us through that a little?
Right. So we've kind of been talking about whether you're a resident or a municipality or a business or whatever.
Right. You know, because there is something for everyone.
Yes, exactly.
Literally.
They've thought about everyone.
Yes.
But as a subset of all of those programs, mm-hmm. whether it's a vehicle or the infrastructure, eligibility is often thought about as kind of an income requirement. So if you are a lower income, a community of color, mm-hmm. a community that has negative health outcomes because you're in an industrial zone, and other factors that are measured and monitored, you can get typically you're going to get more money for those communities mm-hmm. than would be a baseline for other communities. So the challenging part of it is of all these incentive programs, federal and state, and different departments are managing it, the designation or definition of an eligible community changes.
I see.
It drives people a little crazy, but if you mm-hmm. go to your program, whatever one it makes sense, so the step-by-step process, it will tell you which mapping tool to use to determine if your zip code or your address is in or out of an eligible community.
Right. And there's also like they look at disadvantaged health
yeah.
conditions as well can be part of that, right? So each program is going to maybe have its own, would you say, its own specific eligibility requirements?
There's a lot of commonality, but you don't assume that.
Mm-hmm.
So the CDC has a health one.
Mm-hmm.
EPA has an air one.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois has, from the Climate Equitable Jobs Act, they have a different one. So if the Illinois program, you got to look at those. The ComEd is using the Illinois programs for their new rebate program for EVs. So it just go to the program. It'll tell you. Find the tool and determine if you're eligible or not. Most people will know if they live in a high-income area, they're not. If they live in a low-income area, they probably are. And then the question is, if you're in a medium income, do you qualify or not? And those are we'll provide those resources for you with the links we give you. But it's an important thing to know because it could be a big difference in the amount of funding that's available.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of turn our focus then back to, you know, EVs and charging programs. Obviously, I know with the bipartisan infrastructure law, there are a number of transportation electrification programs under that. And let's just kind of mention a couple of the bigger ones. And again, I'll make sure that we have all this information posted for our listeners. But if you could touch upon some of the larger ones for us, that would be fantastic.
Sure. So there, the two national programs are the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, as you mentioned, or BIL, and the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA. We've all heard about it.
I love our acronyms. Yes.
Yeah. So the bill is basically looking at national solutions for EV charging. So there's one program to get chargers along the corridors on the interstates, like every 50 miles on all the major roads by 2028. That's the goal of the program. They've put $5 billion with a B dollars into the program. Mm. Illinois announced their program yesterday. So we're finally out to the races. It's been a year and a half since it was originally announced, but this is great news.
Very much so.
And these are stations where they'll have, you know, four dedicated, you know, large capacity chargers at every station, and typically you'll have other amenities to go with it. So that's a good thing. And then there's something called the Charging and Fueling Infrastructure Grant Program, which is a $2.5 billion program. That's, if you will, more chargers, but not on the corridors.
Okay.
It also includes natural gas compressor stations. Then on top of that, they have special programs for buses.
Yes, the clean bus grants.
Yes. And they also have for transit buses, ferry supports. And so they have focused programs that the DOT manages and funds and different. They're run separately, but they follow similar logic. Some of the programs are for EV charging, some like the bus and the ferries. You can get the vehicles too. So it's depending on the program. You know, they're trying to get these businesses up and running, whether they're public or private. On the IRA, it's basically it's tax
credits.
The
Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah. So you have the ability to take tax credits, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So there's one, if you put in an EV charger at your home, you can get a 30% tax credit up to $1,000. But this is income qualified. So If you're eligible, you can do it. If you're not eligible, you can't.
And that's a good point to make. Again, great program, but you need to go through and make sure that you are indeed eligible to take advantage of that tax credit.
And then there's the one for corporations. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, this would be for the installation of level 2 and DC fast chargers. You can get a nice tax credit, and it's not income qualified. So that's good for corporations. There's also one for used vehicles. And basically, you can get $4,000 if you resell an electric vehicle.
Really?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, and I just don't think that we talk enough about that. That might be something we tackle next time, because people have asked me about that before. Like, what's that like, the resale market? And honestly, that's just not an area that I know too much about. So it's interesting that there's a tax credit for that.
Yeah, so the government has recognized that we're now at 3.5 million EVs in the country and counting. So that means there's used EVs.
Yeah.
They've been around, you know, for all intents and purposes for 12 years. So that market's starting to form, and especially for, you know, people that are normally buy used vehicles, that's nice. And then the person, you know, selling it can get a rebate for the $4,000.
Yeah.
There's also a $7,500 tax credit for new EVs for anybody. The one thing to know is there's two criteria for that. One is you have to the car has to cost less than $80,000, which I think applies to a lot of people, and it has to be made in America.
Love it.
So, we'll provide a list of the vehicles that applies to.
Sure. Happy to do that.
And the same thing for corporations, fleets, there are tax credits for that too. And those direct payments for municipalities apply to that too. So those are big ones for a lot of people, a lot of businesses.
There's, like I said, when we started, there is just so much. I know that there's also just a number of other relevant Illinois programs and policies and legislation. Is there anything else that you want to kind of, you know, give some talk time to? I can certainly post it along with the other information, but I know there's a number of other relevant programs as well.
Yeah, I think it's important to throw Illinois in because you can stack its incentives. There have been programs in the past where you take one or the other, but in Illinois, you can, for most of these programs, you can put one on top of another. So
that's great news.
For example, if you buy a new EV in Illinois, you get $4,000 rebate and you get the $7,500 federal tax credit.
Yeah.
So that's $11,500 you could get off the price of a new vehicle.
There you go. And you can go buy your fancy coffee on the way out of the dealership because you have some money in your pocket.
There
Fantastic.
So then there is also a program for the chargers where the state will pay for up to 80% of the infrastructure. They announced the program in November. The money that they had in there lasted about 3 weeks. And these mostly went to public charging projects. They're giving another program coming out soon.
Good, good.
So, and then the new one that just came out like 3 weeks ago, it's a ComEd program. Ameren is supposed to come out with one downstate. They haven't yet, but this is basically, they have an EV component. They're targeting public and private fleets.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get differencing amounts, and it's, you know, when the links will show you, but significant amount of money off the price of it's a rebate, it's not a tax credit, off an EV. So they're trying to get people to buy, you know, trucks and buses. And then they also have what's called a Make Ready Infrastructure Program, which is, you know, all the, you know, panels and what conduit wiring. It doesn't pay for the charger itself, but it'll pay $5,300 per plug for a standard one and $8,000 per plug for an eligible one. So which is in the EV space is a lot of money, up to 10 chargers. And that program has just been announced. It also applies to multifamily dwellings. So,
and that's huge, right? Because again, we talked a little bit about multifamily last time that you and I were together. But for us at Power Forward DuPage, you know, we really do take in a number of phone calls from condo associations that are really starting to just look and kind of tackle this internally with their boards and of course with their residents and you know, to be able to give them a roadmap again to all of these solutions, you really do need to deal with somebody who knows what they're talking about because there's so much.
Well, on that subject, because
yes,
it's an important one, it's a little self-serving, but find somebody who knows what they're doing and invite them in.
That's
and
right.
Have a conversation. I mean, I do a lot of, I just walk in and talk to people because they don't know what they don't know, and you need to get over that learning curve hump. And once you do, you can kind of move forward and make some good decisions.
I couldn't agree more. And I really feel like when we talk about what people need to do, you know, next to take advantage of these incentives, it really is a starting point is the education piece.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled to have this time with you and started breaking it down. We would be here for hours, truly, if we were to do it full justice. But I really appreciate just kind of skimming the topics of these and looking forward to putting this information online for our listeners so that we can aid them in their decisions as they're moving forward with electrification. Is there anything else on this topic that you want to touch upon here before we say goodbye for this episode?
Yeah, I think I just wanted to reiterate, so someone's listening, it's kind of what do I do, right?
Yes.
We've been talking about it. And it's not just about the incentives. The first thing you want to figure out what you're trying to do, how much it's going to cost, where you're going to do it.
Exactly.
And there could be shared ownership. There could be, if you're looking at a commercial charging station, which is because this new program, the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure, where you put those stations make a big difference. So the siting is an important thing.
In order to get the
revenue.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you're a fleet, are the vehicles you're trying to displace in your fleet available as electric vehicles? Mm-hmm. And are these newer ones, you know, do they have the performance that you need? When are they available? How much are they? What a set of supply. So again, that's sort of a homework exercise to figure out which direction you want to take. And once you figure that out, how much electricity do I need to charge all this stuff? So those are sort of the steps. And again, you can get some help from third parties.
Mm-hmm.
The links will help. The agencies will help with their links. If you're dealing with upscaling your facility, it could be even your home, you may need to get the utility involved to get more power bringing into your building, and then put it all together and figure out if you want to do it and how much. And, you know, there's also loan programs that can be applied in some of these cases that the government will give you, you know, long-term favorable terms. So there's a lot of choices to make.
There really is. And again, I just think the best advice is to align yourself really with a consultant that is very well educated on all these types of programs and incentives, because you don't want to leave any dollars on the table when you're undertaking something this large, either for your home and your family or your business or in municipalities. All, because again, there really is something here for everybody. We're all trying to move forward here as a society. So I think it's fantastic that there's this type of aid and assistance out there. But you almost need a separate degree in how to understand and unpack it also. But that's why we have All Charged Up. And I could not, again, be more grateful to you for your time and your expertise. And just want to say thanks, Tim, for joining us again.
You're welcome. And thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Wonderful. And thank you all for joining us. All this information will be posted at powerforwarddupage.com. You've been listening to All Charged Up with me, Karen Charvat of Power Forward DuPage. Power Forward DuPage represents over 300 of the most highly sought after electrical contractors in the Chicagoland area. We support the electrical contracting industry here in DuPage County, Illinois, and act as a resource for its municipalities, businesses, and residents. Find us at powerforwarddupage.com. And until next time, keep powering through.